Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In last Sunday's sermon, we heard about the Israelites' insistence on a king. For those who are familiar with Breaking Bad and its prequel, that sermon could have been called Better Call Saul. And so God did. God gave the Israelites a king. This Sunday, we might say, better call, comma, Saul, in that the Israelites are ready for a new king. God is ready for a new king, and Saul is charged with extending a call in partnership with God to that new king. And so here we are, having fast-forwarded through the lectionary. We don't really get to hear a whole lot about Saul's kingship in there, but we do get to hear today the story of a new king. And ultimately, God, having grieved over calling Saul to serve as king, has the opportunity to make a different kind of choice. Maybe you saw the video that went viral this week. Oh, which one, you may ask? The one with the high school baseball game where the pitcher strikes out as he's pitching to his best friend and it ends the game. The pitcher's team advances to the state championship, where his friend, the batter's team, has not only struck out, but they're out of the tournament. So the winning team, of course, as you would expect, they rush the pitcher's mound, screaming and jumping up and down in one of those tight circles that make short people feel like they're drowning. Except the pitcher isn't there. He passes through the sieve of his exuberant teammates and comes out the other side headed for the batter's box. There he embraces his friend, and they spend a few moments together side by side, arm in arm, walking each other off the field in a show not just of sportsmanship, but of friendship. In those first fleeting moments of victory, the heart of the pitcher is made known. Winning is sweet, but friendship is sweeter. As God goes about the work of calling the next king of Israel, we discover pretty quickly that it's heart work. In the ancient world, the eldest son was the one who received the anointing. Firstborn sons enjoyed favored status. So we know that God is up to something right off the bat when God decides to pass on Eliab. Why does God do it? For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. David isn't chosen as king because of his birth order or because of his physical stature, although he apparently is very handsome. He's not chosen because of his intellectual gifts. He's chosen for his heart. He's chosen for who he is and for who God believes he can be. In this season of ordinary time, it's helpful to hear stories like David's, stories of people who aren't being chosen by God to do God's work because they're extraordinary. People who, because God sees them and knows them, become capable of extraordinary things. 1 month ago today, Ira Glass, the producer of my favorite radio show podcast, This American Life, gave the commencement speech at the Columbia Journalism School graduation. In it, he describes himself as someone who, in his 20s, got interested in the idea of doing stories about regular people and their lives. Now, he claims it's because he had no idea how to do what normal reporters do, to cultivate sources or to cover the news or unearth important things that the public needs to know. I tend to think Ira chooses to tell stories about everyday people because he's honed his ability to see beauty and power in the ordinary. And in doing so, he's able to pull out some pretty extraordinary threads. In each and every person, ordinary people we are, living ordinary lives, which is to say, all of us In all of us, there's that thread. I'd like to think that it's attached directly to the center of our hearts, a heartstring, if you will. And there's this thread that, when teased out, makes us who we are. And when God tugs at that thread, because it's connected to our heart, we feel it. When we feel that tug from God, it may feel uncomfortable at first, because sometimes we just don't want to hear what God has to say. But eventually, because God can be pretty persistent about getting her way, eventually we realize that it's that thread. And it's God who is doing the tugging. When we feel that pull, if we start to follow that thread out of our hearts and into the world, that's where we start to live out our calling. I can promise you that pastors, kings, aren't the only ones with heartstrings as part of our standard equipment. We all have one. Each and every one of you comes with a thread, and it's already installed. Maybe you followed it. Maybe you're still trying to figure out where it leads. Maybe you're currently in a little bit of an argument with God, asking him to quit pulling so hard. It's not so hard to imagine that David was probably a little resistant to his heartstring being pulled at first. Being king over a nation, over a multitude of tribes, that is a far cry from being a shepherd in a field. But God didn't call David because David had done great things. God called David because of his heart, because David was David. Ira Glass, in his speech, quoted the drummer from The Who, Keith Moon, who once said, "I am the greatest Keith Moon-type drummer in the world." God calls David because he's the greatest David, and because God sees in David a capacity to do God's work. Throughout the Old Testament, people are chosen to lead not because they have particular personal qualities, not because they have such a great track record. Leaders are chosen with the task that God wants accomplished in mind. In other words, God calls God's people to do things God knows they can do. This applies to all of you, too. Rob Bell, not long after he fell from grace in the evangelical church, ironically, over writing a book that denounced damnation and hell and judgment, he does an interview in which he talks about Christian vocation. Vocation is the fancy church way of saying doing what brings you the kind of joy that can only come from using your God-given gifts. I'll post the full interview online because it really is worth reading. But Rob concludes the interview with the quote on the cover of your bulletin. The interviewer asks him, "If a 20-year-old told you she was entering full-time ministry because she wanted to serve God and make a difference in the world, what questions would you have for her? How would you respond?" Rob answers, "I would ask her if she's a Christian. If she says yes, I would say, 'Too late. You're already in full-time ministry.' The real question is, what are you going to do with your God-given passions and energies? Who are you going to help? What are you going to make? Where are you going to serve? Go. Do that. And release yourself from the need to give it labels." Now, David got a fancy title and all the trappings. Some people will end up with a sign on their office door that states their vocation. God doesn't get caught up in any of that, though. What God sees is what God has always seen, our hearts, and who we are in our heart of hearts is enough.